at this time of year that my mailbox and my social media feed are full of family photos. And it's wonderful to see them, especially when I haven't seen the family in a while. I get to see new parents and their children, new grandparents and their grandchildren, oftentimes even new pets. But be honest, no one takes just one family photo, right? We take like 5 or 10 or 20, and then we sort through them, which is a lot easier with digital photography, to pick through them to find the perfect one, where everyone, even the babies and the dogs, are looking at the camera and smiling. One of my favorite family photos was taken when I was maybe 15 or 16 years old, and my family was in Paris to go visit our cousins there. My dad had this super special Nikon camera that he set it up on a tripod, and we all got in the background in front of the Eiffel Tower. My dad framed the shot, he set a timer, and then ran to get into the photo. And as we were all standing there with our fake smiles, we all noticed this older French woman walking from our left to the middle, and oblivious to the camera that was there between us and her. And as she slowly walked between us and the camera, we all became aware that the camera was going to take the shot at the precise moment that she was between us and the camera. We saved the photo in an album, because even though she's in the middle of our family photo, all of us are laughing hysterically at what was happening. Our smiles are not the say cheese fake smiles, but real joy and delight. If you think about it, our crush scene is like the perfect photo of the Holy Family. It was set up to show everyone in a beautiful light. There's no sense of the exhaustion that Mary and Joseph must have felt after walking 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There's no sense of disappointment. They're in a stable instead of an inn. There's no sense of the chill in the air or the smell of the cows or the donkeys and the sheep. And we try to do the same with our family photos, to put on our best faces, even when family life isn't always so serene. But family life can be hard. So let's reflect today on the advice that St. Paul gives the Colossians in the second reading, especially the advice that many parishes might not hear today if the pastor chooses the shorter version of this reading. Even Brian didn't put it in the bulletin, which you have, probably for lack of space. Some people even think those last four verses are controversial, but they're not. So what are they? The first is, wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper to the Lord. The word that is translated subordinate is hupotasso in Greek. And it doesn't mean inferior. It literally means to establish under. The New Testament uses the same word to describe the young Jesus' obedience to Mary and Joseph, as well as his obedience to the Father. And the word has other connotations. It means support your husbands, undergird your husbands, be the foundation of your husbands. Wives are the foundation of the family from where a child grows up and is born. Mary was the foundation of the Holy Family who supported Joseph and the baby Jesus. It may sound controversial, but you can't parse one sentence out of Scripture without reading what else it says on the topic. In Ephesians, St. Paul uses that same word to say that husbands and wives should subordinate themselves to each other out of reverence for Christ. And the second line sounds a lot easier, right? Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. That sounds easy, right? Love and don't be bitter. But then you have to look at the Greek word that St. Paul uses for love, which is agape, the most demanding type of love there is. It's a self-sacrificing love. As Jesus told his apostles at the last supper, no man has greater love, greater agape than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And to expand the context of what St. Paul is saying here in Colossians, he also tells us in Ephesians that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He died for the church. You've heard the expression, women and children first. That was coined by men in disaster situations to reflect that agape love. And finally, St. Paul speaks to the children. Children, obey your parents in all things. But hey, this isn't just St. Paul, right? This is the fifth commandment. The word obey that St. Paul uses, hupakouo, it doesn't mean a blind obedience like following someone who's walking off a cliff. It means heed your parents, listen to your parents, yield to your parents. Even Jesus yielded to his parents when they found him in the temple. Sometimes young children will learn things that their parents might not know, especially if it concerns modern technology. But they shouldn't mistake some specific knowledge for wisdom. For most, age brings wisdom. Wisdom is gained over a lifetime of experience, reflecting deeply on successes and failures. And in the end of the day, God is ultimately the source of all wisdom, as Proverbs tells us. But listening to wise people helps. Even Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. My dad passed away 16 years ago, but I still remember the wisdom he imparted to me. And if I could just have one more conversation with him, it wouldn't be to tell him all that's gone on in the last 16 years. It would be to ask him questions and listen to his wisdom. So family photos are great, but we should all keep the family photo that is our manger scene in mind. Our hope as Catholic Christians is to build holy families of supportive wives, loving husbands, and attentive children with Christ in the center.